Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We are here again to hear your word. And we know that every time that you speak to us, it brings light. And we also thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, this weekend, a special time, to draw close unto the Lord, or draw closer unto you. And as we enter your word, Lord, we pray that you open and break the bread of life to us, as you always do. Let your name be glorified. Give you all praise and all glory. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this morning, you know, I'm going to expose, you know, some of the things, the tactics of the devil and so forth. You know, so I want to preach on roadblock or hurdle. You know, so, you know, I might teach a little bit and then preach a little bit. So we'll see what the Lord will do. Roadblock or hurdle. You know, so I'm going to start here. There's an interesting story that I want to read. And you'll understand what the message is about in a few minutes. I want to start here in Mark chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first 12 verses of Mark chapter 2. It's a very interesting story. And we're going to bring out a viewpoint that will go right along with this message. And I'm going to give you some, you know, punchlines for this message in a few minutes. But let me start here at Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, follow this story very carefully, and you will get something out of it. Now, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straight away, many were gathered together in so much, he said, that there was no room to receive them. No, not even so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins, son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But when there were certain of the scribes that were sitting there, you know, they began to reason in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" If only they knew who was standing right there. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, well, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned so within their hearts, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which one is easier for me to say, you know, to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Take up thy bed and walk'?" Well, it's actually easier to say 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' because if I say that, Jesus is saying, well, you don't know if anything happens or not. But if I say, 'Take up your bed and walk,' then everybody, all eyes are going to see if he's going to be able to take up his bed and walk. You know, so he turned around and said to them, "But that ye may know," hallelujah, "that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he turned to the guy that was sick of the palsy, "Take up thy bed." Hallelujah. "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk, and go thy own way into thy house." And immediately, now that's always the thing about the Lord's miracles, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, in so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it done in this fashion." Praise the Lord. Now that's the story. So let me break it down. So Jesus is in this place. His fame has been noised abroad. So everybody knows that Jesus is there. So, you know, they are trying to get some miracle and something from him and so forth. So here comes this group of four people. They're bringing a friend that is sick. I don't know if it's a friend, family, whatever. But they're bringing this person that is sick. He's been paralyzed. He's been on his bed. We don't know how long, you know. But, you know, when they could not get into the house where the Lord was, because there was so much crowd there. The crowd was so thick, they couldn't get in into the door. The Bible says in the second verse that we read here in this chapter, it said that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. They couldn't even find the door. These people were coming in. There was so, the crowd was so much. And then they thought within themselves, well, you know, Let's go through the roof. Amen. Amen. Well, that wasn't their house. You know, I mean, what would you do if somebody, you know, you were having some kind of thing going on in your house and then there was a lot of people in there and some people that couldn't get in climbed up upon the roof and broke up your roof? You know, what would you do? Well, these people didn't care. They didn't think about that. They just wanted, they were desperate. And they wanted a miracle for this, their friend or family, whoever was on this bed. Amen? But here is one punchline that I'm going to give to you right now. You know, when the door is blocked, amen? Go through the roof. Hallelujah. You know, so when the devil blocks the road or he blocks the door, there's always the roof. Amen? Well, that's what this message is going to be about today. So I'm going to be talking about some roadblocks and how you get around it and so forth. You know, I mean, most people, they see a roadblock as a roadblock. Well, you can see it that way. I'm going to give you some definitions here also this morning. You can see the roadblock as just a roadblock, or you can see it as a hurdle, which is an opportunity. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. Well, I choose, by the grace of God, not to see any roadblock as an obstacle. I'm going to get around it. I'm going to do something, but it's not going to stop me. Amen? Amen. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, a roadblock does not necessarily have to be a dead end. If you come up against a roadblock, then look for a detour. Amen? Amen? Most of the time when there's a roadblock, they tell you, you know, go this other way and so forth anyway. You know, but if you saw the roadblock and then you gave up, then you'll never get to where you're going. How many of you understand that? Amen. So let me give you some definitions here. I'm going to define a roadblock and some synonyms also that go with that, you know, and I'm going to talk about you know, obstacles and so forth like that. So first of all, a roadblock is a barricade or obstruction that is placed across a road. That's why it's called roadblock. You know, it is set up to prevent passage. That's exactly what it is. You know, so, you know, let's say when the crew, you know, the maintenance crew or the, you know, whatever, that they're out there doing some work and so forth, they'll block some part of the road. They put this barricade up because they don't want people to pass through that way. So it's called a roadblock. You know, so the intent of the roadblock is to prevent passage. Now, the devil is skilled at setting up roadblocks for you in your life. Amen? Amen. To present passage. Prevent passage. To make sure that you don't make progress. To make sure that you don't go forward. So he'll put roadblocks in front of your way. Now, obstacle is another thing. You can look at it also as an obstacle. A roadblock be an obstacle. You know, you're going somewhere, you know, you need to be there on time, and all of a sudden the road is blocked. Now you have to be looking all around and so forth, where to, you know, how to get to where you're going. So it could be an obstacle. What is an obstacle? An obstacle is an obstruction to the path of progress. So that's what an obstacle is. It's an obstruction that is in the path of progress. So if you, you know, if a stream is flowing, you know, you can put a dam there. That is an obstacle to the flow of the stream. How many of you understand that? Yes, sir. So, an obstacle is an obstruction to the path of progress. Now, a roadblock is also an obstruction. It is a barricade, but it is specifically set up to prevent passage. That's the purpose of the roadblock. You know, so, now, but it's up to you. When you come up against the roadblock, it's up to you to figure out what you're going to do. You may get discouraged, as many people do, and then just, you know, don't go anywhere, you know. Or you may be determined in your heart that, you know, I'm not going to let this thing stop me. I'm going to find a way around it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, so let's also look at the word hindrance. Or blockage, you know. These are synonyms to these roadblocks that we're talking about today. There are many hindrances that the devil will place in your life in the path of progress. Now, your progress could be spiritual progress. You know, there's many things that the enemy uses to prevent people from making spiritual progress. You know, when the enemy knows, for instance, you know, I mean, let's say, you know, you're about, you know, to go to church, you know, and the devil knows that you're going to get a blessing. Well, he can put some kind of an obstacle or hindrance or blockage in your way, you know, so that you won't go to church. Maybe it'll be something, you know, that will happen to you that morning, you know, to distract you or something, or you get your mind on everything else but the Lord, you know. So the enemy is skilled at doing that, you know. Now, some other roadblocks and so forth to this spiritual progress in life can be the cares of this life. Jesus said it himself. He said, look, in those days, you know, at the end of the days, when it's about time for the Son of Man to come, men's hearts will be charged with surfeiting and drinking and the cares of this life, and they will forget until the day will take them unawares. You know, they'll be doing everything else, but their mind will be nowhere upon the Lord. You know, so that's one tricky way that the enemy puts a blockage on your path for spiritual progress, because he gets your mind on everything else, you know, but your spiritual growth. You know, so let's not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. So I'm going to expose some things here this morning, you know, and of course, you know, this is it's a consecration weekend, so I expect that the Lord's going to give you deliverance and a breakthrough. Amen? Amen. You know, so all those roadblocks and whatever else, you know, we expect that the Lord is going to give you a breakthrough here this morning. But first, you must identify, see, you have to identify the roadblocks, the things that are blocking you. Now, these people, when they brought this, their friend or family member or whatever on the bed, you know, they could not get in the house. Their purpose was to be able to get this man that was sick in front of Jesus. They couldn't do it because the door, you know, there was too many people there, and there was no way that they were going to get through the door, you know. So they identify the problem. The problem is the door is blocked. We cannot go through the door. So we're going to look for another way. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. Now, if there is a roadblock on your path, what do you do? I mean, just every one of us that is sitting in here has faced roadblocks at one point in time. Even physical roadblocks. Those of you that are old enough to drive and you're driving, I am sure here in Phoenix, you know, especially during the you know, summer months, there's always things, the construction that they're doing on the roads. I mean, every few months you're going to go somewhere and you're going to find a roadblock. So everybody has seen this, you know, in the physical. But also in your personal lives, you know, many people have met roadblocks. They may not see it as roadblocks at the time, you know, but I'm here to expose today that those are roadblocks. And the intent of the devil is to make sure, you know, that he blocks your progress. That's what's called a roadblock. You know, there may be some things that you should have accomplished in life by the time that you where you are now. But the enemy has put so many roadblocks in front of you, you know, and then you get discouraged, you know, and you cannot make progress because of these roadblocks. Now, if you don't identify these roadblocks, the enemy is always going to cheat you out of the blessing that the Lord wants for you. Now, you know, so there's always opportunity for the devil, you know, to seize a moment and bring confusion to you, especially when you are off guard, you know. Now, you could be a student, and there's all kinds of roadblocks, you know, that the enemy may put before you for your progress, you know. Instead of concentrating on your studies, the enemy will put some kinds of distractions in front of you, you know, so you won't concentrate on your studies. And then, of course, that's going to impede your progress, you know. Or, you know, I heard a testimony from a young lady just a couple weeks ago, you know, there was just about, you know, a few days to a very important exam that she was going to have. And all of a sudden, she couldn't find her class notes. I mean, these notes were everything. She wrote everything there, you know, and so forth like that. She couldn't find it. I talked to her, and she said, well, I can't find my notes. I locked myself in the closet. I've been crying all day, you know. And I immediately recognized that as a roadblock, because the enemy was trying to discourage her so that she would not do well in that exam, you know. But I said, you calm down. Believe the Lord, you know, I prayed a prayer and said, you'll find the notebook. You know, just need to calm down and listen to the Lord. You know, of course, she calmed down, she listened to the Lord, and the Lord led her to the place where the notebook was. Amen? Amen. And at the end of the day, she did very well in the exam. So we give the Lord the praise for that. Hallelujah. But that could have been a roadblock. You know, that could have been a roadblock. You know, the Lord, you know, but he sees all these things, you know, and God always makes a way of escape. You just have to look for it. Now, the first thing you do when you come up with, you know, against adversity or distress or whatever, you know, the first thing you need to do is you need to calm down. If you don't calm down, you will never see what the Lord is trying to show you. You know, if you get all wired up and your hair is standing up and you're running helter-skelter and so forth, you will not be able to hear the still small voice of the Lord, because he won't get through all that noise. You know, so you need to calm down. You know, calm down. The reason the people can't calm down, though, is look, when you are not used, if you don't have a prayer life, if you don't have communication, constant communication with the Spirit of God, you know, then when something goes haywire, you're going to be running all over helter-skelter like a chicken whose head is cut off, because you've not attached yourself to the lifeline, so to speak, you know. So we want to encourage people to develop a personal prayer relationship with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, don't wait until there is crisis before you pray. You know, that's not, you know, look, most people that do that, you know, you find that they are so distressed, you know, when something happens to them and so forth, you know, God has a rest for the people of God. Amen? Amen. There's a rest for the people of God, you know. Now, somebody who is not stable, you know, because they are not fully attached in prayer to the Lord, they're very more likely to get off the tangent when something happens, you know. So, but you always want to calm down and try to recognize the roadblock and see it as an opportunity for the Lord to come through with victory for you and a testimony. Amen? Amen. Every roadblock is an opportunity for a testimony. Praise the Lord. That's right. Now, when you look at, you know, when you go to the store and try to buy some roses and so forth, they look so pretty, and because they've been pruned, they've been shaped and so forth. If somebody's taking time to, you know, cut off the thorns and all that. But I tell you what, you know, the roses don't grow just like that without thorns. You know, they grow among very sharp thorns, you know, and so forth. And when you cut off a branch of roses, you know, it's full of branches. I mean, it's full of thorns and some roses and a lot of thorns and so forth. Initially, when you look at it, you know, and you know, the question is, what do you really see when you see that? You know, some people will see the thorns, others can see the roses, you know, and so forth like that. Well, I'll tell you something about the Lord. The Lord always sees way ahead. The Lord sees the good in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why he never gives up on anybody. When the whole world gives up on everybody, the Lord says, well, you know, I paid the price for that person, and I know they can, you know, they can come to the truth. Amen. So the Lord never gives up on anybody. But the Lord always sees the good. And, you know, but what do you see when you see the roses? You see roses, you see thorns, you know, and so forth like that. You know, instead of looking at just the thorns, you know, look at an opportunity. If I prune away the thorns, then I'm going to have, you know, a collection of beautiful roses. Amen? Amen? You know, so we need to see these things that come up against us as an opportunity. Instead of a road, you know, something like a roadblock, it might be an obstacle. You know, you just hurdle over it, get around it, you know, bulldoze it, do whatever. But don't let it stop you. Now, life is not a sprint. It's more like an obstacle course. You know, they run these obstacle courses, steeplechase, they jump over some hurdles, they paddle through some water, and they run many laps and so forth, and sometimes they fall down, and then they still have to get up. You know, it's a long race. You know, sometimes sometimes going is good, you know, and so forth like that, you know, but sometimes it's not so good, and the challenges that come your way and so forth. You know, there may be a lot of things, you know, impediments to your progress in different ways. Sometimes even, you know, sickness and disease will be a roadblock and or try to be an impediment to your progress. Now, you're doing something important in life. All of a sudden, you know, sickness comes and so forth. The devil, there's role in life, Jesus says in John 10 and verse 10. You know, the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Amen? Amen. That is his purpose. So any way that he can steal your joy, he's going to try to do it. Any way that he can kill your dreams, He's going to try to do it. Any way that he can destroy your life, he's going to try to do it. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. And that more abundantly. Now Jesus, he doesn't want you to just have life, you know, just barely. He wants you to have it running over. Amen. Abundantly. You know, how do you do that? Well, you know, the Lord has already given and made a way for us, a way of escape. There is no temptation but such as is common to man. But with every temptation, you know, the Bible says that God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above your strength. But with everything that you're going through, he's already prepared a way of escape. You know, when the road is blocked, God's already prepared a roof that you can go through. Amen? Amen, amen, people? Amen. That's right. He's prepared it. You know, you just got to look for it. You have to be determined to not let the roadblock be, you know, a dead end to you and so forth. You know, when you come up against the Red Sea, God has a way, you know, and so forth like that. And I'll tell you something, folks, you know, in the Bible. Listen to this. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. This is your commander in chief. His name is, you know, in many ways, he called himself, he said, I am the Lord of hosts. You know, so he's the Lord of hosts. He's the commander, you know, extreme commander in chief, if you want to put it that way. And he's even beyond chief, you know, and so forth. And he tells you, go forward. Praise the Lord. In Exodus 14 and 15, he told them, he said, go forward. Don't let the Red Sea stop you. And the people was like, go forward? How are we going to go forward into the Red Sea? Are you kidding? You know, they told Moses, you know. But the Lord knew what he was doing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what the Lord always tells you is you must go forward. Hallelujah. Now, when you meet a roadblock, you know, and so forth, you know, sometimes the roadblock may also be, you know, it may be for that. Sometimes they put a barricade there for safety. You know, it's not always a hindrance, you know. Sometimes there's something going on and they put a barricade because there's construction and they put a barricade around there so people don't get too close for their own safety. Amen. You know, and, you know, so whichever way you look at it, you don't have to look at a roadblock as a negative thing. If it's a negative thing, then find, you know, something around it. You know, but if it, you know, sometimes it may be the Lord that's even doing that. You know, and so forth. You never know, you know, what the Lord, you know, will do to try to steer you into the right path. But what you want to not do is you don't want to let the devil discourage you because you met some disappointment. Amen? Amen. Now, this roadblock sometimes can be disappointment. You know, you can come up against something that you were not expecting and all of a sudden, boom, you know, people give up because they were not expecting that. You know, but you need to look for a way of escape. You know, there's always the roof, you know, when the road is blocked. When the door is blocked, like in this story, there's always the roof. Now, let's look at some of the things, you know, that personal obstacles to progress in life. Let's look at that. So, personal obstacles, progress in life. You know, there's always, you know, this, you know, Satan may be the one that puts up some of these roadblocks, you know, but he may be, you know, also, you know, waiting in line to take advantage of a roadblock. You know, now, it's not everything we need to blame on Satan. And you know, sometimes it's foolishness, you know, on our own part. Amen? Amen? And some people don't like to hear that and so forth. You know, well, you know, that's the truth. You know, now listen to this. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. You know, so, you know, they are destroyed, you know, when they don't receive knowledge and so forth. So knowledge and so forth and wisdom is also the application of knowledge. You know, you cannot have wisdom, you know, without knowledge. You know, and knowledge without wisdom is useless. I want you to hear me good on that. You cannot have wisdom without knowledge. But knowledge alone without wisdom is not useful. You know, so, you know, knowledge will equip you and empower you for some things, you know, but you got to apply wisdom. You know, so, you know, I've said this before, you know, if you're in your house getting ready to go to the airport to catch a flight and you hear on the news that SR-51 South or whatever is blocked and that's the way that you have to take to the airport, well, that's knowledge. You just got some knowledge that the way that you're about to take is blocked. Well, You know, that knowledge alone is not going to do you much good if you don't put it to proper use. Amen? Amen. You know, if you say, well, you know, yeah, the road is blocked, but, you know, who cares? And you just go, you know, and you get stuck. And I said, look, we're going to close this ramp and the south, you know, direction for the next 3 days. And you head in that very direction, even though you already knew that. You know, well, of course, you are liable to miss your flight. You know, but even you have that knowledge, you arm yourself with that knowledge, you say, wow, you know, that road is blocked. Well, let me try to map another direction so I can, you know, get to the airport on time. So now you use wisdom. You know, you apply that knowledge that you have, use wisdom, get around it, and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, lack of knowledge, you know, and wisdom, you know, brings people into, look, most of the time, people fall into trouble, you know, because they don't use wisdom in their lives. You know, they, you know, if you don't fall in, you know, you, if you don't look carefully where you're going, you know, and you're walking in the dark, you're going to likely to fall into a ditch, you know, and so forth like that. You know, if you're going out in the night, you don't have any light and so forth, you know, then you may trip over something and all that, you know. So that's lack of wisdom, you know. And we've often said that, look, doesn't matter whatever situation you find yourself in, no matter what is going on, no matter where you find yourself, if you have faith, the Lord will pull you out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I believe that with all my heart. You know, I have seen, you know, terrible things and so forth. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, people, all they have to do is believe the Lord, and God will pull you out of no matter what situation you find yourself in. He'll do that too. You know, however, if you applied wisdom, in most cases, you might not fall into that ditch to start with. Amen? Amen. Faith will pull you out of it, but wisdom can keep you from falling into the ditch in the first place. Amen. That's right. You know, so you know to use wisdom. You know, some people, financial problems that they are in today, probably because they didn't use wisdom. They overextended themselves. They did what they shouldn't do and so forth like that. They borrowed when they shouldn't be borrowing. And they did all these things and so forth. Credit and all that stuff. And then they lose their job, they lose their house, they lose their family and all that. Well, if they cry unto the Lord, hallelujah. At any time when somebody can turn to the Lord. You've seen the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. After he messed up and did all that, and riotous living and everything. One day he came to his senses and he cried and said, I better return to my father. You know, so I know with all my heart that if you cry unto the Lord at any time, he will reach out and pull you out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But if you don't apply wisdom, you know, if you don't apply wisdom, you're likely to fall into many ditches along the way. You know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, even when the Lord heals you of the wound, it's going to leave a scar, you know, sometimes. You know, so to avoid all those things, use wisdom in the first place. Amen? Amen. Now, listen to this. You say, well, the Lord can do all that? Sure. Psalms 85 and verse 8. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. And to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Amen. You know, so no matter what situation you are going in right now, the Lord can speak peace to you. And he'll bring you out of it and so forth. But he strictly charges you, do not return to foolishness. Amen. That's what that verse says. Let them not turn again. After the Lord's already delivered them, let them not turn again unto foolishness. Because it was the foolishness that sometimes got them into trouble in the first place. Now every trouble that we fall into doesn't necessarily come because we did something wrong or we did, you know, we're foolish and so forth. Sometimes there are just, you know, oppressing spirits. And that's the next, you know, roadblock I want to talk about. There are some oppressing spirits. Their job is to oppress the people and make sure that, you know, you don't make progress, you know, in life. So those are oppressing spirits, you know, and sometimes there are some things that are going on in the spiritual that people are unaware of. But I will have you know that our fight is not with flesh and blood. Amen. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, folks, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. But I tell you something, folks, we are not children of darkness. Amen. Amen. I am not ruled by the rulers of darkness. I'm not in their kingdom. Amen. The rulers of darkness can do anything they want. I am a child of light. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious light and the kingdom of light of his son Jesus Christ. Amen. So I am not ruled by the rulers of darkness, but they are there. They have their plans and they operate and so forth. My role sometimes though is to dislodge them from their lofty places and cast them down. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, so, you know, I'm not, you know, but look, if you don't know what you're doing, the devil is going to play ping pong with your life. You know, bounce you all over the place and so forth like that. You know, I can say these things because by the grace of God, because the grace of God is abundant in me, you know, having my senses exercised by virtue of use over the years, I can spot the works of the devil. Amen. I don't let him have no field day with me, you know, praise God. You know, but, you know, you must learn to see not only the workings of the devil, but also the workings of the Lord. You know, there's a gift in the Bible called the discerning of spirits, that it can see the workings of evil spirits and also the workings of good spirits at work and so forth, the Spirit of God working and so on. Now, you know, unbelief is one of the greatest roadblocks to anything. You know, all of the promises of God in the Bible, you know, are based on faith. You cannot get anything from the Lord except by faith. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. You know, the Bible says, look, all the promises of God and so forth did not profit them because it did not mix with faith in their hearts. You know, and God can promise you anything, you know, but if you don't have the faith, you know, you're not going to receive anything at all. And not only must you have the faith, but you must also, you know, meet the conditions. Amen? Most promises in the Bible are with conditions. If my people who are called by my name. Now, there's a promise behind that, but first he gives the if. He's going to say, look, I'm going to heal your land, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to restore, and I'm going to rebuke the devourer, I'm going to do this, and so forth. But first he says, you must do this. You know, and but most people, they like to jump at the promise of God, but they don't want to keep their premise. Because there is always a premise to every promise. There is a condition, most times, to the promises of God. Now, there are some unconditional promises in the Bible. But those have to do with his eternal purpose. And nobody can change that. You know, no prayer can change that or anything like that. But that's the eternal purpose of God. But in our daily lives, the things that God has promised for us, you know, most of the time, you know, he has something behind it. You know, that we must do. Listen to this in John chapter 15. And let me read to you just one verse here in verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me. Now listen to that. So there's this if clause. You know, it's like a predicate. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ye shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. Amen. So if we cut off the first part of the scripture and then just say, look, you shall ask anything you want and it shall be done unto you. Well, that is incomplete. You know, that scripture is made complete by the first part. First, you must abide in him. And his words must abide in you. And when you do that, you can ask anything you want and it shall be done unto you. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? That's right. So, you know, there are many, many promises like that in the Bible. I don't want to take time to go through all of that, but you get the point. Most promises of God in the Bible are based not only on believing the promise, but also on meeting the conditions. Sometimes there's a condition behind it. But unbelief, we see, is a thing. In fact, in one place, the Bible said that Jesus could not do many great works there because of unbelief. You know, and you say, wow, God can't. No, he can't do it. You know, he needs your faith. Praise the Lord. He needs your faith for you to be able, you know, for him to do anything for you. There's also negativism. Now, here's my own definition of negativism. Negativism, this is the way I define it. It is the practice of constantly being pessimistic. Instead of having a positive outlook to life, you possibly say, I can't do that. That's not possible. You can't accomplish that, and so forth. Well, you know, by your own admission, when you say that, you know, then, you know, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. You know, at the consecration service last Friday, you know, I was talking about, you know, and I gave a scripture to the people of how God in Exodus 19 invited the people to be a kingdom of priests. He wanted them to be there, you know, and then in Exodus 20, he gave them the law. And he called Moses up to the mount, and there was this tremendous phenomena, you know, all kinds of the glory of the Lord and so forth, you know. But the very people that God invited to be a kingdom of priests that he wanted to talk to one-on-one directly, they turned around and said, we don't want any part of that. You know, we will die if we hear the voice of God. You go hear from God and you come tell us. Well, the next thing we know, from that point on, God said, look, only Moses should come up to the mountain, and the rest of you, if anybody should so much as come near that mountain, he will be thrust through with a dart, even an animal, and so forth. Because with their own mouth, you know, they didn't want to press forward with God. You know, so when God said, look, you can do it, they said, well, we can't do it. We can't hear the word of God. We don't, you know, if we hear the word of God, we are going to die. Are you kidding me? The very word of God is what's going to give you life. Amen. Praise God. And that reminds me of people today who don't want any part of the Word of God. You don't read the Word of God for yourself. You leave it up to the pastor or the preacher or whatever to do it for you. Well, that's not going to get the job done. You need to get a hold of the Lord on your own. Amen? You know, so, you know, the negativism is when people say, well, you know, they're always constantly pessimistic about everything that's going to go wrong. They're always able to find the problem that something is going to go wrong, but they can't see anything positive that God is going to do. Well, that's going to be a roadblock for you sometimes. You know, when that gets in there, it's going to be a roadblock. You know, now, the root of bitterness is another roadblock. You know, when you have this root of bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, it'll be one of the greatest roadblocks to you achieving anything. You know, because the Bible teaches that. You know, so, you know, when the root of bitterness springs up in you, it troubles you, the Bible says. So you need to get it out of there. Amen? Amen. Get rid of that root of bitterness. And why does that root of bitterness come in? Even the Bible warns husbands, you know, to love their wives and not be bitter against them. Because the Lord knows that men have this, you know, propensity of being bitter against their wives. I don't know why it is, but, you know, that God, he foresaw it and he warned the men. Look, if you're bitter against your wife, it will hinder your prayers. How many of you can say that's true? Oh, it's in the Bible. You know, so do better not be bitter against, because that's going to block your prayers. You know, it will hinder your prayers. You know, the Bible says treat them with, you know, honor and so forth, as unto the weaker vessel and all that. It also says to the woman, you know, honor your husband, respect, reverence your husband. If you don't do that, it's also going to hinder your prayers, because you're point blank going against the word of God. You know, so if you don't, that's what means in John 15 and 7. If my words abide in you, you know, if the word of God is not abiding in you, if you are a woman and you are not reverencing your husband, and the word of God is not abiding in you, if you are a man and you are not loving your wife, you know, or you are being bitter against them, you know, and so forth. So these things will create hindrances, you know, in our lives and so forth like that. But let me read to you the story, you know, something in the life of David. And of course, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, you hear me preach on David all the time. But I want you to turn with me to Psalms 18. And I want to read just one verse in verse 29. You can read the whole chapter. Tremendous, tremendous something there, you know, in that chapter also, you know. But, you know, I just want to read this one verse. He said, for by thee I have run through a troop. Hallelujah. And by my God I have leaped over a wall. You know, this man, roadblocks or whatever, they're not going to hold him back. Amen. He's either going to run through it, climb over it, get around it, bulldoze it, whatever it is, but it's not going to keep him from going forward. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There was a story, you know. Of course, you can read it in Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. The story of a people that would, you know, they were so negative And God gave them promise and said, look, go spy out the land and so forth. I'm going to give it to you, a land flowing with milk and honey. They wouldn't do it. They came back with all kinds of negative stories. The land is full of giants. The land is, you know, swallows up its inhabitants. The land is this and that. We are not able. We can't do it. You know, and Lord said, yeah, you will not do it. Amen. That's right. Because they did not honor the Lord. And the Lord said, you will know my breach of promise. That's right. The thing that God promised, he refused to honor it because of their unbelief. Because they did not sanctify the Lord of hosts in their hearts. They did not sanctify the word of God. And, you know, I've preached on that before. You should go and listen to the message on the website called Contradictions Against the Word of Promise. You know, when God gives a promise, then all kinds of things, you know, come up against it and so forth in your mind. You know, so, but these people, they would not sanctify the Lord in their hearts to believe the word of God, to go and possess the land. They said, we cannot do it. And God said, that's right. You will not do it. All your generation will perish. And they were destroyed by the destroyer. And for all the, you know, all the younger people that didn't have a chance to doubt the Lord yet, he said, well, those are the ones that are going to go into the promised land. Amen. Amen. You know, so negativism will keep you out of anything that God has promised. You know, it'll be a major roadblock, you know. And that negativism can come by your own unbelief in your heart, or it can come by somebody else telling you that you can't do something that the Lord already said you can do. Amen. Amen. Folks, don't you ever let anybody tell you that you can't do it. Amen. 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 You know, if somebody says you can't do it, says whom? You know, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things. You know, now, you know, you got to know how to battle and conflict, you know, against some of these obstacles. In most cases, you know, your best defense is in the word of the Lord, repeating his word. Amen. That's your best defense in most cases. Just repeat the word of the Lord. Never mind what anything else says. Just repeat, you know, believe the Lord with all your heart and repeat the word of God, you know. And look, I tell you something, folks. God is bound to keep his word if you believe. Amen. Now, God may not necessarily give a timetable. You know, that's the problem with folks all the time. You know, we want God to do things for us at a certain time. Well, there may be a certain time, but it may be a certain season and a certain time with God. You know, we've also preached on the message due season, you know, and so forth like that. So there's a time for everything, you know, but, you know, no matter what it is, your responsibility is to believe the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, I have prayed, you know, many times and I said, Lord, you know, I want the grace of God in my life. So that by the time I stand before the Lord, there's a day of reckoning for everybody to give account before the Lord. And when I stand before the Lord, I want to be able to say I believed every promise of God. Now, whether or not I attain that promise, that's God's, you know, prerogative if he wants to overrule whatever he knows. But if he's promised something, I'm going to believe it. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, look, I can pray for the sick, you know, whether they get healed or not immediately, it won't move me at all. Because he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Hallelujah. So when I lay my hands on the sick, that sick person will recover. Unless the Lord has something else that he wants to do about it, and that's his business. But my business is to believe the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So when God says something to you, your business is, never mind what God's, don't worry about what God's going to do. You just worry about your part. Amen. You know, and when God says something, don't worry about how he's going to do it. God has a million different ways that he can get it done. Your business is to believe what he said. Just believe the what. Leave the how unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, and God may have provision for you that you don't even know anything about. He said to Elijah one time after the brook dried up, he said, look, you know, Elijah didn't know it. And the widow woman didn't know it either. But God has already set things up in motion. He said, look, I've already prepared a widow woman to sustain you. The woman didn't know it, and Elijah himself didn't know it. But God knew it. Amen. Praise God. There may be things that God has already prepared for you. And in fact, there are things that God has already prepared for you. You may not know it just yet, you know, and a little roadblock may be setting you back right now. But you must rise up and you must say, by my God, I'm going to run through any troop. Hallelujah. And by my God, I'm going to leap over any wall. You know, David said, look, you know, though nations compass me about like bees, he said, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. Now, your business may not be with nations, but it may be with a cloud of negativism, in a cloud of challenges. Every time you try to do something, all hell breaks loose. Well, that may be a roadblock, but sometimes you got to stand up by faith. Amen. And you sometimes have to rebuke the storm in the name of the Lord. If the disciples had done just that, you know, when Jesus said, let us go over to the other side, and then they got in, the next thing you know, all hell broke loose, you know, and the storm and the tempest and everything, and they went crying to the Lord. You know, they didn't even do anything, you know, to take care of the storm. The Lord knew they could take care of the storm. That's right. They didn't bother about it. You know, they were the ones steering the boat and so forth. So God, you know, the Lord just went and slept. Because he knew they could handle it, you know, but they didn't. And they disappointed him. And the first thing he did when they woke him up was, first he rebuked the disciples before he rebuked the storm. Amen. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? See, they themselves could have said, well, you know, you storm or whatever, you tempest and so forth, you cannot capsize this boat because Jesus is in the boat. Amen. Amen. They should have said that and then gone about their business. Never mind the storm. Go about your business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to have storms of life. That's the way it is. You know, but a storm is not going to prevent you from reaching your destination. Because Jesus already said, let us go over to the other side. Can you stand to your feet here this morning? The other side is where Jesus said we are going. And no roadblock, none of these things can prevent us from going. Amen. In the book of Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10, as I close. This is your commander in chief speaking. Again, go through, you know, never mind any gates, any whatever. Go through the gates. Don't let anything hold you back. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many other gates. For the lack of time, I have cut back on some of the things that I wanted to say. You know, but I think that is enough what I've said. You know, there are many roadblocks, many gates, and so forth like that. You know, that the Lord, you know, wants us to understand. And I am revealing to you today by the word of the Lord that these disappointments and these things that come up against you in life, you know, when you're trying to do something and the enemy comes up against you, they are merely roadblocks, you know, but they should not be a dead end. Amen. You know, I mean, if you see that the road is clear, but there is an obstacle on the way, you can hurdle over it, or you can go around it, or you find a different way and so forth, but you must go through, you know, you must keep going forward. And you must not stand still. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Some people have had some setbacks in life. You know, and maybe it is some exam that you are taking. The first time you do the exam, you didn't make it and so forth. Well, does that mean you should give up? Real faith never gives up. Hallelujah. Real faith never gives up. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, as long as you are here in this body and on this earth, you're going to have these contradictions, you know, to your promise and so forth. You're going to have all kinds of things that will come up against you from time to time. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have all these things. But be of good cheer, John 16 and 33. I have overcome the world for you. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. And Paul put it best. He said, look, I am persuaded in Romans chapter 8. I am persuaded. Hallelujah. Are you persuaded? I am persuaded that no roadblock can keep me back. Hallelujah. Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor low, nor anything can keep me back. I'm going forward. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let me see some folks that are going forward in this house today. Hallelujah. Let me hear it if you are going forward. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There will be no limits before you, saith the Lord, if you believe the word of the Lord that's spoken in this message. Amen. there will be no limits. The devil cannot hold you back. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Even the devil, he could not hold the Lord back in the grave. Amen. They put stones, they put rocks, they put soldiers, they put everything to hold him back. But he blasted out of the grave. Thank you, Jesus. Because death cannot hold him down. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I tell you something too, Lord, folks, for the people that believe the Lord, death cannot hold you down. Amen. Death cannot hold me down. Because we are not appointed unto wrath, folks, but we are appointed unto salvation. Amen. And I believe by the grace of God, we are looking for the glorious appearing, hallelujah, of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe one day he's coming and he's going to say, come up hither. And nothing is going to hold you back if you believe the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, for the distressing spirits. Remember I mentioned a bunch of things and so forth that can hold you back and so forth. You know, the distressing spirit that will put discouragement in your heart or bring things against you and so forth. Now, I'm going to pray against those here this morning. So if you want prayer, you know, quickly, I want you to come forward and I'm going to rebuke that distressing spirit in the name of the Lord that has been hindering your progress. See, the roadblocks and so forth. You know, some of you, it's like you never seem to be able to get ahead. Every time you try something, all hell breaks loose. You know, other people are prospering, other people are getting ahead, but there seems to be this roadblock in your own life. You know, it's a distressing spirit. And God sent me here today, you know, by the grace of the Lord, to put handcuffs. Amen. I'm going to put handcuffs on those distressing spirits. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I command spiritual handcuffs to be placed on all the distressing spirits that have come against the people of God. Every distressing spirit that has created a roadblock in your life, I put handcuffs on them. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's right. They will proceed no further. Yes. Hallelujah. God will give you that breakthrough that you deserve because you are a child of God. And even if you don't deserve it, remember the message of the crossing of the hands. Hallelujah. Some of you don't deserve it, but through his mercy, he has crossed his hands to bring to you even the things that you don't deserve. That promotion that you don't even deserve, through the crossing of hands, God is going to bring it upon you. Hallelujah. And the one which you deserve, the enemy cannot keep it from you. Praise the name of Jesus. The progress that you need to make in life. Now, some of you are here, you know, today, and you're struggling with many things. And I don't make light of that. I understand that. You know, I know some of you have to work 2 jobs, 3 jobs, whatever, to make ends meet. But I tell you something, folks. You know, God can take a little and multiply it to feed thousands. Amen. Amen. It is when we don't trust the Lord that we think that it is by power or by might. No, it is by the Spirit of the Lord. And there is a distressing spirit. There is something that is working against you. That is not making, you know, your little to become great. It's making you to put in a lot of effort only to get a little. That's a distressing spirit. And I bind it today in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind that distressing spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that are blocking you from making progress in life. Some of you should have been way advanced of where you should have been in life. You know, maybe now you should be married. You know, can't find a husband or find a wife. You know, maybe now you should do this or that. You know, maybe you should have graduated from school. You are not graduated. Maybe you can't pass your exams or whatever. These are distressing spirits. And they are things that the enemy has set up. Now, Lord Jesus, break every chain. Break down the gates. And let the people go through. Let my people go, saith the Lord. Let my people go through the gates, saith the Lord. Let the people go through in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Breaking the gates. Pulling down the walls. And all strongholds of the devil, I command them in your life to come down in Jesus' name. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And now, folks, remember the Lord thy God. For it is thee that giveth you power to get wealth. And it is he that causes you to profit. He teaches you to profit. So remember, when the Lord has done great things for you, never let pride come into your heart. Because pride is the beginning of a fall. You know. So that pride, that prideful spirit also, I bind it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. That the people of God may remember to give glory to God at all times. Now the unbelief, and on the unbelieving spirit and the negative spirit and so forth, I bind the activities in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Yes. Now for those of you that came forward, I want you to repeat after me and say, blessed be the name of the Lord that teaches my hands and teaches my mind to profit, and I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Lord has given me the victory. And no roadblock can keep me from my destiny. In Jesus' mighty name. Give me a Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise you the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't even matter what the enemy tries to do to you. Remember what they tried to do to Joseph? Throw him in a ditch, send him into Pharaoh's land in Egypt, put him in prison, do all of these things. But at the end of the day, hallelujah, the word of promise still came to pass in his life. Praise ye the name of the Lord. No ditch, no Pharaoh's house, no prison place, no whatever could keep him from attaining the blessing of the Lord and the promise of God and the destiny in his life. Amen. And I want you to go away from here today and say, look, every roadblock is an opportunity for me to get a testimony. Amen. And I will not let anything hold me back. I will run through troops. I will leap over walls, bulldoze the obstacle, get around it, do whatever. Amen. Move the mountain out of the way sometimes. And if you can't move it, then go around it. But don't let the mountain keep you back. Amen. Amen. Scale the wall, scale the mountain, or get around it somehow. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want you to have this attitude, folks. You need to say, look, you know, if you stand in front of me, I'm going to bulldoze you. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's what you need to say to those distressing spirits. And if you stand before me, one time, Jesus, he had to rebuke that spirit in Peter, because he was standing before. He said, you will not go to the cross. And Jesus said, you get out from before me and get behind me. Amen? Amen. Because you don't know the things of God. You know, and that's what you should have, that spirit. You put on your game face. You should have that flint. Put on, set your face as a flint. Hallelujah. Amen. And don't let the devil hold you back. Praise the name of the Lord. Lift up your hands this morning and let's praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because of this thing that you have done for your people here today. Thank you because they have an understanding now concerning the word of the Lord that none of these things can keep them back. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to say, I am persuaded, those of you who are here. I am persuaded that no roadblock can keep me back in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.